We find that in many situations in Das Torah, Musar, that there are fine lines of when you straddle two different feelings which would seem somewhat contradictory, but yet we're obligated to be able to walk that tightrope. Many such examples exist, but I think there's an interesting example here in the parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paroi. He says, "V'yordu kol avadecha el elai v'shtachvu li lemor tse ato v'chol o'om asher baraglecho." That he says, you're going to come, this is referring to Makas Bechoiris, he says, all your avodim, they're going to come to me, they're going to bow down to me, and they say, get out, we had enough, we can't take this, it's too overwhelming. And the Yerdu Kol HaVadech, so Rashi says, Chola Kovid LaMalchus. He was giving Kovid to the Malchus. Why? Sharei B'Seif Yorad Paroi Ba'atzmoi. The Maisa Paroi was the one who came down, Elov, Balailo, the Omar Kumetsu Mitoich Ami. He says, Paroi himself, Bichvoido Vatsmoi, came down searching for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, please get out of here. For Loi Omar Loi Moshe Mitchilo, the Yorada to Eli, Vishtachavisoli. Yet Moshe didn't say this to him. He didn't tell Paroi that you're the one who's going to be coming down. Because he was chaylek covered la malchus to give, it wasn't covered for the malchus that Moshe Rabbeinu should stand there in front of Paroi and to speak to him in such a way and say, "Hey, you know, if you don't behave, if you don't let us go, if you're going to get involved in this last makkah, then what's going to happen is you yourself, bichvoitcho va'atzmocho, are going to come down looking for me, crying here, please, we can't take it anymore." So he was chaylek covered la malchus. So I assume that if he's chaylek kovad lamalchus, that chayra, that there's something real to that. I don't think Moshe Rabbeinu was, it's not a question of playing games. He was chaylek kovad lamalchus, which means there was kovad for the malchus, because out of respect to the malchus, it's not nice to say that the melech is going to come running down in the middle of the night looking for Moshe Rabbeinu, and the way they describe it in some of the kids' tapes, you know. Paro in his pajamas is coming, running and looking, where's Moshe Rabbeinu? It's not nice. So he was chaylek kovad. You have to respect the malchus. But mitzad sheni, look what we're talking about. We're talking about a paroi who was, I don't know who to compare him to in our history, but certainly was right up there with the rishoyim, who just killed so many and destroyed so much and caused such pain and suffering, and his refusals and his negativity and his denial and everything that this power represented, such rishis that knew no end, it knew no gvul in the children and people and whatever it was for so many, 210 years. And you're talking about this and saying, now it's time already. To it's going to be over. You better be careful. And l'chayra, it would have been more powerful, and it would have been more effective to Paro if he tell him, Paro, you know something, you yourself, you know what you're getting yourself into here. You know the bizyoinus that you're going to have. You yourself are going to come running after, looking for Moshe Rabbeinu, and say, where, where's Moshe? How do we get out of here? Please, you got to get out of here. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu felt that for this Rosha, with the maybe even the additional effectiveness of threatening him about his own bizyoinus, of a lemaisa, he has to be choylik kovad lemalchus. And despite the fact that so much was going on, and such negativity, and such rishis, and maybe even a greater accomplishment, but there's a gvul. You draw the line right over here. But kovad lemalchus is kovad lemalchus. What I have to do, I have to do. And sometimes even the fact that if I did it the other way might be a little bit more effective, but I have no right to be over the kovad lemalchus. I am telling the melech that he's going to be finished anyway. I'm telling the melech what's going to happen, but those fine lines of this much yes and this much no. And we have such things, in everything in life. I once heard from Rabbi Joseph Grumblatt. He said he understood what Chazal mean. He heard a shmooze from the Rosh Hashiva in Montreal, and then he said, now he understands what Chazal means. Say, kabdeu b'chashdeu. What does it mean? Respect the person and be chayshed him. If you chayshed him, so it doesn't, isn't that pegeya in the respect? But we have the obligation and we have the capability to split those two. I still have respect for you. Respect doesn't mean just I act. It's not a game. It's not phony. It's not deceitful. It's not dishonest. I respect you, yes, but I still have a chshad. Doesn't the chshad have to undermine the respect? No, not necessarily, because we're capable of splitting that emotion and drawing the appropriate das teiridike gvulois. And if kavod hamalchus is an appropriate hargosha or hanhogo, even under such terrible, horrific circumstances where Paro is doing so much and has done so much, and even though it might even detract from the power of what I'm doing, if that's what it is, so I can have covered for the melech, at the same time, not to lose sight of the rishis and not to lose sight of the fact that this melech is going to be destroyed himself unless he cooperates. And both of those things have to be able to live together. And I guess the upshot of this is that it's very important for a person to have clarity in the Musoge HaTorah, in what exactly does the Torah expect of us under what circumstances? Because sometimes the expectations may be in conflict, or may be seemingly in conflict, and we have to be able to know exactly where to draw the line. And it happens to many things in life. We're dealing with people, we're dealing with problems, and because we feel that somebody did something wrong, so therefore that puzzles the person in everything, and not necessarily so. The COVID can remain, despite the fact that there are issues that we have to deal with. Very simple thought, but I think it's something that's very Nogela Maisa. The Parsha also says, later on, that they're going to take the Korban Pesach 4 days before, v'hoy lechem the Mishmeres, ad arbo oso yoyim. They take it on Yud Nisan until the 14th of Nisan, and then it's going to be the Shechita and the whole business. So Rashi here says something, just a few words, that's very interesting. Hoy lechem the Mishmeres, that's the Loshem Bikor, they're going to watch it and supervise it, check it out to make sure everything, there's no psul. Why these 4 days? Reb Nasi ben Choresh said as follows. He says, I'm going to pass by and I'm going to see. This is the time of an eis doidim, a time of the expression of love. Higia shavua shenishbati l'Avrom shegoel es bonov. The time of paying, of honoring the shvua that I swore to Avram Avinu that I redeem his children has arrived. V'lohoyu b'yodo mitzvahs l'sasek b'hem k'dei sheyigalu. However, they had no mitzvahs to be misasek that they should be goel. Yes, there was a shvua, but everything is has gidorim in halacha, in deserving. There's an understanding that there has to be a schus. Without a schus, it's not going to work. And they had no schus. V'lohoyu b'yodo mitzvahs l'sasek b'hem k'dei sheyigalu. Shenerma v'at erum v'eryo. That's what it continues over there, that they're naked from mitzvahs, they have nothing. V'nosen lehem shtei mitzvahs, dam Pesach v'dam Milo. He gave them two mitzvahs, dam Pesach, the Korban Pesach, and dam Milo. They did Milo. Shemolu v'oisa halaylo, shenerma espoisesach b'domayich, b'shnei domim. V'emra gam at b'dam briseich, sholachti esirayich, aposach mibor, me'ein mayim boy. So this is the schus that they had. And because of v'shohoyu shutfim ba'elilim, omer lehem mishchu k'chulochem. Because this, the avla, the greatest thing that they had weyored to is that they were involved, I guess seriously or somewhat involved in avodah zorah. Omer lehem mishchu k'chulochem. Draw yourself out. Mishchu yedeichem ba'elilim b'chulochem tzayin shel mitzvah. Okay, so this is the schus you're going to have, the Dam Pesach and the Dam Milo, and the Dam Pesach was the one that was represented going against the Elilim of Mitzrayim, and that they have the schus. So just point out a very simple thing over here. Lamaisa, there was a Shvua. Fine. And Lamaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be Mekayim the Shvua of a Lamaisa, there was not a schus to be able that the shvur should be able to be mekuyim because they were involved in inappropriate things in avodah zorah v'chulei. Says they didn't have the mitzvahs that should offset that which they were involved in, which was negative. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them these two opportunities that there should be mitzvahs, and now it's because of that he's able to be Mekayim the Shvua. But Rashi quotes this Reb Masi ben Choresh as saying, Hareo ve'ervanach ve'erech, ve'hine itcho eis doidim. Says, it's a time of love. This is the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can express his love. The time has come where he can express his love to Klal Yisrael. Now the Klal Yisrael to whom he was expressing the love was certainly not in very great shape. So here he had a shvur and he had to be Mekayim. And in order that he should be Mekayim, so he made them, he gave them the schus of Dam Pesach v'Dam Milo. But what the Novi calls this and what he brings that this is the time it's referring to, he says this is a eis doidim. It sounds like that the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to Klal Yisrael under all circumstances. And even though the circumstances here was a Klal Yisrael that sinned so seriously, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be Mekayim the Shvur, so he found something for them to, okay, so now I have to do the Shvur, I promised Avraham Avinu, I found some schus for you to do, but to call this is the Eis Doidim, this is the time of the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. It sounds like that even under the worst circumstances, and where I would have thought just, okay, so now I'm giving you a schus, and now I can be Mekayim the Shvur, but the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. And there are times that he can't deliver on it, because even when there is a Shvur, because there isn't a schus, there has to be a schus, that's totally in how I have to conduct myself with you. Abul Amaisa, that matzav of love, that I can now express my love, the Eis Doidim, this is something that even applies in such situations. Which I think it's something that people struggle with today, and I think it's very, very important to realize that many people look at themselves and they think, Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me. How could Kodesh Baruch Hu love me? Like, what did I ever do to be loved? How am I worthy to be loved? But Lamaisa, and we just happened to see this morning also a posuk in Eshkol HaKoyfer Doidi Li B'charmi En Gedi. But Rashi also learns like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Karmi En Gedi, the trees there, or what are the vineyards, the vines there, they produce four or five times a year. And Rashi says the moshel is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mechilas one time after another time after another time in the Midbar, after each time they were Menaseh Hashem, and each time to forgive them, and that's the Pshat Eshkol HaKofet Doidili. That's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. Here we are sinning against Him, here we are going against Him, here we are not worthy of anything, of even being taken out of Mitzrayim, and He has to give us this opportunity to fulfill the Shvur, which he had to fulfill. Abul Amaisa, that's still an Eis Doidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael is not dependent upon how we conduct ourselves. Whether we conduct ourselves properly or not, that love is there. Maybe it's on hold, maybe it's something, but when there's some way to be able to make up, to forgive, to give you a schus mitzvah that you're able to be mekayim, to be worthy of the shvur, then this is an eis doidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is there, and I think that it's critical, because if we don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, we don't feel worthy of that love, then what we tend to do is act in a way that becomes even less worthy of the love. And we just can't see ourselves as worthy. And Mimela, we just tend to do less and less and less. But when we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us, then it evokes Kimayim HaPonim El Ponim, a love from us, and that we love him and he loves us. And in the context of that relationship, we motivate ourselves to do more and more, despite the fact that we may have fallen.